Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Great Scott Podcast. Today, I'm joined by up-and-comer actor, and folks, I think that this will be a name that you hear a lot of later on in the future, Mr. Josh Goldberg. How's it going,
Hello.
Josh?
Great, how are you?
I'm good. How are things in St. Louis? I know you're 3 hours away from me, so... I'm sure that how things are there are probably the same for me, but I figure I would ask anyways.
No, yeah, it's unusually warm right now.
Unusually warm?
It's very unusually warm. Yesterday we had very cold weather, and now we have 70 degree weather. It makes zero sense.
Yep, sounds a lot like where I am at, so I figure there might not be too much difference there, but... Yeah, so how's your weekend been?
Good, really well. I just got booked to perform at a nursing home, which was absolutely incredible. I'm doing that on Tuesday. I cannot wait. It's going to be awesome.
So, are you going to be doing acting at all? Some kind of skit at all?
For the nursing home?
Yeah.
No, I'm actually going to do magic and singing.
Oh, wow.
They want me to do magic for 30 minutes and singing for 30 minutes. So it is going to be a wild ride. It's going to be crazy. And yesterday I just sang for about 200 people. So it was ridiculous. This week is going to be nuts.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So you said that you performed for 200 people, you said?
Yes, that was, oh my goodness, that was, you know, when you perform, you always judge yourself so harshly, but, you know, it really is awesome when, you know, someone comes up to you and says, you know, Josh, you're an inspiration, you know,
wow.
I loved your voice, you know, it makes it all the worthwhile, it's so amazing, that's what I do.
To go along with what you what I was saying beforehand with the comedy stuff, because we were talking a little bit beforehand. First time that I did it, I actually had someone in their 20s who actually went up before me that I actually did not get to see because I was outside busy talking to other people. But so anyways, yeah. So basically he had gone inside to catch me. And so pretty much as me and my parents are leaving, here he comes back up to me and... this is probably the biggest 20-year-old I have ever seen in my life, to be quite honest with you. You know how the wrestlers have the big build, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So pretty much he comes up to me and hugs me and says, Michael, funny stuff. And that was my very, very first time that I had ever done comedy. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So, so I got kind of nervous when he was coming towards me, I will say. I mean, but anyways, yeah. So just to go along with what you were saying there at the moment, when people come up to you and say what an inspiration or what a good job that you did.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's, like I said, that's what I love to do, and that's why I do what I do. It's for that little kid who comes up to you and says, I want to be like you one day. And that's all it takes.
How old are you, Josh?
I am 21.
You're 21 years old.
Yes.
So for your 21st birthday, did you go out for a drink at all?
Believe it or not, I had an audition for America's Got Talent.
Oh, yes.
2 days after my birthday. And ironically, it's really funny how this worked out because it was in Las Vegas. And I was in Las Vegas for my 21st birthday, and that was, holy cow, that was... insane. That was awesome. I only drank like a sip, because obviously, you know, it was a singing, excuse me, I was going to be singing, and I was really worried that whatever I drank was going to ruin my voice, so I drank a tiny bit of an Old Fashioned, and I'm going to be honest with you, it was the most disgusting thing I've ever put in my mouth. It was disgusting. I will never drink that again. I learned a very valuable lesson that night to not ever drink an Old Fashioned ever again. So that was fun.
That's what I was going to bring to your next time that I saw you perform. I thought that we would celebrate with an Old Fashioned.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Get one of those old-fashioned going. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I drank a sip and gave the rest to my brother.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, anyways, so my first question, well, I guess that I have been asking you questions already, but how did your start and love for entertainment come? Did you perform at a young age like some actors do and all that? And tell us about the very first show that you ever did.
So I was six when I started realizing that I love to perform. And you know, in kindergarten, when teachers ask you, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? You know, I've had people say, you know, I want to be a cookie. I want to be a spaceship. You know, I want to be a fire truck. And, you know, at that point, you, and a sixth grader, in a 6 year old's mind, you don't think about what you want to be. The only thing that was on my mind is what to trade for lunch, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I pretty much said I wanted to be an astronaut, not knowing anything about it. Just I figured it'd be cool. I like space. But it was when I was no, it was and yeah, I'm sorry, it was seven. When I turned seven, my school was putting on a little show to make fun of all the teachers, and the first show I've ever been in. But the entire school, I played a woman, which was very interesting. And yeah, it was then on where I realized that a dress was actually very comfortable.
Nice.
Yeah, and also, you know, I just the audience cheering was awesome. But then, at that point, I was like, okay, this is fun. This is a hobby. But then. Dude, when I turned 12, that's when it, or I'm sorry, 13, that's when it really started happening. At 13, I tried out for my very... leave a smile on their face that I've done it, you know.
Absolutely.
I've done what I set out to do. And yeah, it's really inspiring. Acting for me is a passion, no doubt.
If you, going back to you being in a dress, So pretty much, were your parents there? That was what I wanted to say. But I mean, did your parents see you dressing up their 7-year-old child, you said, right? 7-year-old dressing up?
7 years old, yeah.
Dressing up in a dress? Did they know that was going to happen?
Yes, they did. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
That was really interesting. I played a woman named, our teacher was named Mrs. Pearlstone. And she was so mean sometimes, but she was like a lovely woman. So we made fun of her name and called her Mrs. Pearl Flintstone.
Ah.
And at that age, we all thought that was so funny. And, I mean, I'm telling you, the audience loved it. And it was a tiny little thing, you know. We all sat behind a big puppet show kind of curtain. And I came out and said a couple lines. It was, oh, my gosh. It was so fun. And then on, you know, I love performing. And, for singing, even. That's kind of how it started as well. Doing performances like that.
To go along with your teacher that you called Miss Pearl Flintstone, I had a teacher. So I'm 27 years old. I just turned 27. So pretty much I had a class in college, actually the community college here in Kansas City. I had a class there, and the teacher's name was Mr. Preisendorf. But in reality, I think I called him Mr. Preisendork straight to his face a couple times. But
okay. There
and
you go.
No, he did not make me dress up in a dress. No,
yeah,
but
that was weird.
Okay, anyways, really... all right. So moving on. So going to America's Got Talent. Going back, so I know we're going around here, but
no, you're good.
Yeah. So pretty much. Tell us what it was like leading up to the point, how you managed to get on there, and because I had spoken with Josh Orlean, who's also America's Got Talent finalist. He absolutely killed it, and I think he should have gone a little bit further, but that's just my opinion, though. And the guy was like 12, or I think he was 12, and he hadn't been bar mitzvahed yet by that point.
Yeah.
And
it's crazy to imagine that.
What's that?
It's crazy to imagine that.
I know, 12, you know? 12 years old.
Excuse me, I'm so sorry. It's absolutely insane. The audition process, when I first auditioned, it was season 10. And, you know, I didn't know, I mean, I watched the show for years. I was a huge fan of it. You know, at that point, my love for singing was extraordinary. You know, that's all I wanted to do. I wanted to be a performer. I wanted to be an inspiration. And my mom, it was actually started with my mom, because she told me about an upcoming audition for America's Got Talent. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, awesome, right? Let's do this.
Yeah.
And so it was at a St. Charles Convention Center here in St. Louis. And, oh, my gosh, it was, oh, wow. Just being there, I mean, literally just being outside. I remember the day of, I actually skipped school to do this. Don't get the wrong idea.
That's what Josh did,
stay
too.
Stay in school, kids. Oh, really? Stay in school, kids. But,
yeah.
No,
stay in school, kids. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I skipped school to do this. I remember that day. It was January. It was in January. I know. It was freezing cold. And my mom went with me. And I'm telling you, it takes a lot to snuggle up to your mother on the concrete under a blanket because you're freezing cold. I mean, I'm pretty sure I just saw a penguin freeze. It was really that cold. It was morbid.
Yeah.
But yeah, that day it started out totally fine. We got inside, and I really honestly didn't know how many people were going to be there. I mean, oh my gosh, Mike, there were easy 5,000 people. I mean, without exaggeration, easily 5,000 people gathered into this huge convention center, and everyone was everywhere in cameras. It was nuts. when it first hit me that I was, you know, auditioning for this television show, was when they gave me my audition number. And I actually still have that hanging up. when they gave me my audition number, that's when it really hit me. And that's when the nerves started going in and out and in and out.
Yeah.
but yeah, at that point I knew I was going to sing. And I was just, I couldn't even focus on my own song because I was so focused on what everyone else was doing. And I tried to, I really tried to be better than them, which is a terrible thing to say. I wanted to see what they were doing and check out the competition. And after about 4 hours, 5 hours, they called us into audition. And we all, they separate you into groups of most likely, I'm sure they still do this, singers in one group, dancers in another, you know, magicians in another. So they took us into this big room, really small though. They took us into this room, and basically they had us stand on this X, and there was a producer there. She announced her name and all that, and then of course I was lucky number one. And what really stood out to me though was when I was called, everyone cheered for me, and you know it's amazing to see the camaraderie between contestants. They're all going against each other, but then they're rooting for you at the same time. So I auditioned, and on this reality show, they don't tell you right then and there. Excuse me. They'll give you a call back if you had made it. And so what happened later, I auditioned. I thought it was great. The only thing she said was, thank you. and then I walked out, and I would say it was, I would say it was at least 2 months later. I recorded a video for my school of what the audition was, and, you know, what I was singing. And so I did that, and overnight, I was shocked. You know, I went to Park Ridge Central High School, and I had 1,500 kids. And so I made this video, and I posted it on Facebook, thinking, you know, it'll get a couple hundred views, a couple comments, a couple likes, you know, maybe a share or two. People will see it. Well, I was very pleasantly surprised. Overnight, it almost got 2,000 views. And
wow.
I was truly blown away. I walked into the school, and it's like my life was different. You know, everyone saw that video. Everyone says, you know, great voice, Josh. You know, it was unreal. It was really something different I wasn't used to. And then I got an email saying what I thought. I didn't know what this was. But I got an email pretty much stating that you were placed on in the yes pile, but that yet they would have to make other cuts. And so it turns out the school got hold of that, and they did a newspaper article on me, which, again, was totally off the cuff. And it was, I mean, the experience in and of itself up to that point was truly unbelievable. It was life-changing. And then about a month after that, I unfortunately got the call basically saying that I had not survived the final cutdown to be on the show. And what's unfortunate is that. What is fortunate, though, I did get to sing. They put a section of me singing on the show, which was, again, really incredible. And people got to see that. And I mean, ever since then, really, I've been getting, you know, singing things, acting things. It looks great on a resume, and it was absolutely phenomenal. It was unbelievable. The experience I would recommend to anyone at all. Absolutely not. I don't think so. No, I went in there and, you know, I did it. well, actually, you know what? No. I'm so sorry. I forgot something. Probably the most important part. When I auditioned, I had strep throat, a cold, a sinus infection, and an ear infection, all while auditioning. So I would have done it when I wasn't sick. That, as far as the singing goes, definitely not. You know, you got to try your best.
Yeah.
And I gave it my all. And that's what counts. So.
Go ahead and give me just one second here. Let me re-ask that question because I didn't have my microphone on. So I just want to capture it. No need to answer. But pretty much, was there anything else different looking back that you would have done in the audition process? Okay, there we go. So anyways, so you were also so when you got done, you said that it was televised, correct? Or they put a portion of you in there?
Yes, which was completely unexpected. And I learned later what producers do. They'll take the best of the best and the worst of the worst and stick them on the show. And then for the preview for that certain city, they'll take little portions of interviews and songs, and they'll use that for the opening of the show. And I mean, I got to sing on news on the show. It was really spectacular.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
I really recommend it to anyone.
Did anybody recognize you, when you're walking down the street at all?
Honestly, so I got to be honest, yes, which was very, again, very odd, you know, because I didn't think anyone would see that. And it was actually, turns out, it was really my mom's friend. It was her daughter, who is obsessed with the show. And saw me singing and saw my videos, got a hold of me, saw my videos on Facebook, saw a couple of YouTube videos, actually. And basically, she's like, wait, are you Josh Goldberg? Are you him? And it's the cutest thing, because she proceeds to show me a picture of myself. And I'm like, yep, that's me, sweetie. And it was the funniest thing. And actually, my brother, weeks after the audition, my brother, he made a shirt for me saying, my brother's on America's Got Talent, season 10.
Yeah.
And I wore that into Trader Joe's. And the the clerk at the counter rang a bell and said, yeah, we just want to let you know, we have an America's Got Talent contestant here. And they had me sing for the whole store. It happened on numerous flights. The stewardess came up to me. They did their little announcements, right? And so they said, at the end of the flight, they said, thank you so much for flying Southwest. We know you have different travels, blah, 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 blah. And they said, well, good luck to Josh on America's Got Talent. And they clapped for me. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, wow.
It was crazy. It was great.
So, and for any of those wondering who won on season 10 was Paul Zerdan. I'm not sure if anybody would ever remember that, but I think he was a puppet guy or something like that.
He was a ventriloquist.
Yeah, ventriloquist. There we go. Kind of like Terry Fader and Jeff Dunham.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And now Darcy Lynn, sort of.
And now what?
Darcy Lynn.
Oh, Darcy
Lynn. Singing ventriloquist.
Yeah.
She won last season.
Oh, okay. Had you
this
ever?
Season, really.
So before you had auditioned, had you ever been to a taping of America's Got Talent?
I have not. I have never been to a live taping of that prior, and I still haven't.
Yeah.
And I mean, in fact, we were in New York one time, and we stayed literally right next door to the. We stayed at the New York Hilton, which is actually right across the street from Radio City Music Hall. And my mom was wondering about getting tickets to the show. And I'm like, I don't know if I'd be able to handle that, you know? seeing, you know, Simon Cowell now and Howie Mandel and Mel B. It's almost... Yes, I would love to go. But it's kind of like seeing your favorite celebrity. You know, you're very nervous to do that. And the celebrity I look up to most is Ellen. Gosh, I love that woman. Ellen DeGeneres.
Ellen Holy DeGeneres, God. Yeah.
She inspires me every single day to do what I do. And on top of that, Facebook friends. They are my rock. I know Facebook seems to be an addiction sometimes, but really, they are my rock. Oh, God. I'm addicted to Facebook now. But... Yeah, no, I leaned off track. I'm sorry. But no, prior to the audition, I've never been to a taping, no.
Okay. So So you were also part of the NJT, which stands for New Jewish Theater, correct?
Yes, yes. That big part of my life.
Big part of
big,
your life.
Big.
Are you still?
Oh, huge.
Are you still a part of it?
I am not. I kind of graduated. graduated from it. But doing that New Jewish Theater, honestly, I realized by doing that and all the years I've been doing it, really shaped the this point in my career. It was at that point, you know, doing New Jewish Theater, that I realized that there really isn't anything else I want to do. And, you know, I can't really have like a 9-to-5 job. I need to be performing whatever I do. And so that really gave me the motivation to keep going. And from then on, I've been doing college theater, high school theater, and then like TV and film. New Jersey Theater was absolutely the point in my the major point in my acting career.
How long were you part of the New Jewish Theater?
3 years.
3 years, okay.
Yes.
What was your absolute most favorite part about it, and your least favorite part?
Ooh, my most favorite part. Got to start with the positive. Most favorite part of the New Jewish Theater was all the friends I've met.
Yeah.
They are absolutely incredible. The actors, actors and actresses, it's doing that I had a whole new perspective on what, like how stressful a producer can be, or how stressful a director's job can be, or a choreographer. Like, I'm friends with those people on Facebook now. That had to be my most favorite part, and performing. But, you know, I could tell you some horror stories too, but for the most part, it was phenomenal. I would say that definitely the people, my favorite part, meeting all the cast members.
I think I can imagine what the worst part is going to be. I think I know what you're going to say.
You want to take a guess?
What's that?
You want to take a guess?
Yeah, I mean it's okay. I'll just say I think that the worst part that you're going to say is the people, dealing with the people there.
actually, not quite.
Oh, okay.
It was actually the rehearsals.
Oh.
They were.
They involve people.
Wow. Yeah, they were intense. The last show I did there was Hairspray, and I was cast as Link Larkin, and I had no idea how much dancing there was going to be, and I am not a dancer for my life. I am not a dancer at all. I am strict acting, singing, and oh my gosh, the rehearsals every Sunday, you know, of course, I was like in 7th, 8th, 9th grade. That was a lot to handle. And then on top of that, we had the tech rehearsals. Then it was every single day for like 4 hours. And our director would sometimes yell at us. But, you know, I've learned over time it's all part of the gig. It's all part of it. But it was the rehearsals was probably the worst part of it. But it was in fact, actually, if I can add on to one of my favorite parts, it was.
No,
when
I'm sorry.
We were about
I'm sorry.
To go on
stage. That, no, I'm sorry. You can't do that. I'm sorry. We already went past. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Go ahead. Go ahead, buddy.
Oh.
I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Basically, it was when we were all about to go on stage for the first time. It was so emotional. It was opening night to closing night. You know, from day one to day 101, we become like a family. And on closing night, we all cry.
Yeah.
Everyone. And if you can imagine, 12, 13, 14-year-olds crying, it gets pretty.
Yeah.
Gets pretty hectic backstage sometimes. But, you know, doing that though, New Jewish Theater was, like I said, such a big part of my life. And I remember closing night of Hairspray, at my last show. I was a little bit unknown then. My last show I was ever going to do at New Jewish Theater, right before I got on stage, and I was in the first number, and I literally had no more than a minute to get myself on stage. Of course, my nose decides to spontaneously bleed.
Oy vey.
Closing night of Hairspray. That was horrible. So I had a tissue in my suit pocket, and I was ready to go.
Yeah.
But, I've been punched on the I've been punched in the face on stage by accident. I've fallen off the stage. Multiple things. Yeah, I got stories, man. I got stories that happened. It was, oh my goodness. It was great, though. You gotta love it. You gotta love what you do.
So what is your ultimate dream, if you have one, in entertainment?
Be an actor. Inspiration. Definitely. Being an actor or someone that's like a motivational speaker. Mainly my main goal in life is to inspire others and have them never give up on what they believe in. You know, life's too short. Never give up on what you want.
Yeah.
And that's when I wrote my first song ever. My first song got recorded and I was very lucky to have it be released as a single. It's called Never Give Up, you know, and that song is really just like, you know, you're in part of the lyrics, you know, you're in the race, there's no turning back, but your heart is giving in. So, you know, never give up and keep going forward. Never turn back. You won't regret it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I like what you said. And for anybody who is wanting to get into the entertainment industry, very, very challenging, very mentally challenging, yes. I will say that. And there's thousands of other people who want the exact same thing as you. So yes. I actually used to work in production out in Los Angeles on television shows. So it's not quite acting, but I've done some acting. But you're there. I mean, I'm not sure if this ever happened to you while you were at the New Jewish Theater, but usually how it works out there is someone will give you a call at like 10 p.m. at night asking, hey, can you be here at 6 a.m. the next morning? and you have to drop everything to say yes, because this is part of what you're wanting to do. Yes. So pretty much the entertainment industry, I say that to say this, the entertainment industry is just a weird business. I mean, not to discourage anybody, but I mean, it's just...
No, definitely not.
You have all kinds of surprises coming at you when you're in this industry.
You know, 100%. And as one of my favorite TV shows growing up was Hannah Montana. I loved what she did. I loved how she sang in front of everyone and was living a secret life, not wanting to let everyone know that she was famous and all that. And one of the main things that she said that I really live by today is basically when people say getting in this business is literally 1 in a million. I say, just like she said, well, I want to be that one, you know?
Yeah.
It's a 1% chance. It's not zero. It can happen, and it does happen. It happens every single day. A new person gets in the spotlight. And this industry is wild. It's crazy. But like I said, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. And the sacrifices are worth it.
Yeah.
I got an email from Casting 360 saying... I was in St. Louis, and they said, urgent, needing actors. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I got to respond. Little did I realize they wanted me, like you said, the next morning, but it was in L.A. So, you know, I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
But that's where I plan to move after college, to go after that.
So you are, speaking of that, you're actually getting ready to move to Los Angeles.
Soon, yeah. Actually, well, I'm going there. I'm going there for a week in December to do that exact thing.
Yeah.
I'm meeting with an acting coach. Excuse me. Wow. I'm meeting with an acting coach. A wonderful, wonderful acting coach. Her name is Jennifer Collins. Absolutely fantastic. She's an actress herself. She's been in multiple movies. She's phenomenal. And I'm going to meet with some of her agents and managers, and possibly doing some TV work out there. So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be in mid-December.
That's pretty cool. That's really cool.
A lot of fun things.
So right now, I'm sure that probably you're not, since you're getting ready to move out to Los Angeles, but are you currently working on anything as of now?
Acting-wise or singing?
Oh, it doesn't matter. I mean, just acting or anything entertainment-related?
Mm-hmm. So acting-wise, I'm working on a student film right now. and singing-wise, I'm trying to write another song called Stronger. And so balancing that with acting as well as school, as well as finals, you know, it's coming up. It's quite crazy, but I love to do it. And student film is actually for someone's final. And so I'm more than happy to help out with that. So it's fun. In fact, I get to play a murderer. So that's even more crazy. Right? I get to play a murderer. I don't want to give anything away, but I get to stab someone 32 times in the abdomen.
Oh, wow.
So, obviously, it's fake, but my gosh. It's so much fun. Just acting so mean, but then, you hug the actor afterwards, and they're like, I'm so sorry I killed you. It was great.
I could go on and say something about that, but I'm not going to. But usually something about critics saying, oh, look, they're promoting murder. Look, they're showing kids how to kill somebody. I know. I mean,
it's all fake, and it's a horror film. It's a little horror movie.
Yeah.
And I've only done one very scary, dark show in my life. That was Wait Until Dark. And I was in it, and that scared me. I knew exactly what was going to happen, but yet I was shaking. And it's scary. I love that. That's my favorite genre, horror.
Horror.
Don't get the wrong idea, though. I'm not like a maniac, but I think.
Just don't, Josh.
I love it.
Just don't call your girlfriend or wife that, whore. Just don't say that.
No. No, definitely not.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Oh, man.
That's just what made me, yeah, okay. So, but anyway, so when you're not acting, I know that we've been talking about your career, but when you're not working on your craft, what do you like to do for fun?
I love to cook. I got to be honest. I love to cook. My dad taught me how to make an omelet, and ever since then, I make dinner for myself. I kind of like creating my own little masterpiece and then eating it all for myself. sometimes I'll share it, but just creating your own little dish. That's something a lot of people don't know about me, actually, doing cooking. I love to do magic. I absolutely love to do magic. I'm trying to think of the craziest thing people don't know about me.
Do you ever watch Fool Us, as you're thinking?
Oh, my gosh. Like Penn and Teller?
Like Penn and Teller, yeah.
I watch that religiously. I used to watch that religiously. Oh, my goodness. Holy cow. Yeah, I loved that show. In fact, Penn and Teller came to Lindenwood, and I missed it. I was so mad at myself.
Yeah.
But I missed that. And they came to Lindenwood. Oh my gosh. I can't believe I didn't say this. One thing I absolutely love to do is paint.
Painting, huh?
Paint. Yeah, I love to paint. I think it actually, honestly, ties along the lines of singing and acting. it's creative, being creative. That's definitely something I love to do.
And I've heard that's also a very nice stress reliever for people, just to like get away from life, get to paint still life, just relax. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like that's a very relaxing thing to do.
It is. Like, put your emotions on the paper.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or canvas. You know, and so, yeah, I look around sometimes and I see my paintings on the wall. Like, I don't ever throw them out. I hang them up. And I look back on it and I'm like, oh, this is how I felt this day. This is what I drew, you know. So it's definitely a hobby.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
So, my final question for you is there anything, I know that we talked about a horror film that you're doing, but is there anything that I can help promote for you?
Ooh. You know, actually, if you can.
No, no. Oh, okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. Okay. if you can, I'd love for you to promote my new song, my new single.
Sure,
new
absolutely.
Never Give Up.
Never Give Up, okay.
It is absolutely incredible. That sounds terrible. It's inspirational. I would love for you to promote that if possible.
Yeah.
I can send you over a CD, a hard copy of it, if need be. Yeah, anything. I can send you over a link.
So is it on your YouTube?
It will be, actually.
It will be.
Working on a music video for that. So hopefully that'll be out on YouTube, I want to say next month.
Okay.
But trying to get the team together to do that music video.
I'll wait to put this out when you promote that or when you put that out.
Yeah.
So
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And Josh, I want to thank you so much for being on my podcast. Will you come back sometime and tell us what you're up to?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Of course. I'd love to.
All right. Sounds good, buddy. Good luck in Los Angeles, and good luck with everything. Thank you so much for your time.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, buddy. Thank you so much.
Of course.